Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
John chapter 8, verse 1 through 12, the Bible says this, but Jesus went to the Mountain of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts. Someone say at dawn. Now remember, that's very important for the very end of the message. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Now I'm wondering, how in the world did they catch her in the act? I'm just saying, how you gonna catch somebody in the act and then bring them to Jesus? There's some faults there, but either way, look at the person next to you and say, "I got faults." Okay, so watch me. So I don't know, I'm just saying, but they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They're asking Jesus, right? These are the religious leaders. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Have you ever asked somebody a question you already knew the answer to, but you were just trying to catch them in a lie? We're twisted up. Parents do this the best. We catch our kids. We find evidence. Hey, so what did you eat earlier? Nothing. Oh, okay. Come on, somebody. How many know we could be all messed up ourselves? But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stood down. See, that's good. I need that from you. Somebody do it again. All right, there you go. So again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Look at the person next to you and say, "Go." We won't say the other part. We're just going to say go. Verse number 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's pray. Father, have your way this morning. Be with me. Anoint my life. Allow me to preach this message with conviction and passion. I pray that you would help us to come to a greater understanding of not only who you are, but what you want from us here on earth. God, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So this morning, the end result of what I want to accomplish is I basically want to bring clarity to what Jesus meant when he looked at the people and said, "I am the light of the world." So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to answer that very question. What did Jesus mean by when he said, "I am the light of the world"? And how many know that every statement that the Lord made was one of significance and one with intention, right? The Lord that we served did everything with intent. So this morning, we're going to discuss the "I am" statement of Jesus, but we're also going to examine what was happening around him. Now, just to give you some background information about what was happening during this time, here Jesus was going from city to city, and he was traveling and preaching to the crowds that were available to him. As he came to the festival of shelter, there was a divide among the people, because as he continued to preach, people were getting healed, people were getting delivered, right? So there was a large rumble between the crowd. If you will, there was a divide within every crowd. On one hand, you had a group of people that identified, "This must be the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for." But on the other hand, you had a disgruntled people that said, "Who is this man claiming to be God?" And they wanted to kill him. Somebody say, that's two extremes. Right? Now, in John chapter 7, a few chapters earlier, at the climax of the festival, Jesus looks at the crowd and he yells the words, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink." Now, as he said this to that crowd that was there, there were some high priests and there were some religious leaders that were angry with this phrase, because him claiming that anybody that was hurting could drink, he was basically claiming to be the living God. So they were mad. They were mad at the fact that nobody addressed him. So what they did was they came together and they tried to plot, how can we get this man arrested? And this is where we find ourselves in this story. The Bible tells us, as Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, the Bible says that the Pharisees, or the religious leaders, they brought this woman to him. They caught her in the act of adultery. And what they said was, "Teacher," they said, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses said to stone her." And then they said, "What do you say?" The Pharisees wanted to see if Jesus would basically neglect the law, since he had a reputation of compassion and mercy, right? And this is just a sub point. We as believers should be marked with mercy and compassion. Everyone knew that this man Jesus had a heart of compassion and mercy on people. I only say that because sometimes, you know, we can want forgiveness from God, but we're unwilling to extend forgiveness to the people that hurt us. Right? I don't know about you, but like when I do something bad, I'm sorry, baby, I'm sorry. Come on, somebody. Married, come on. Baby, I'm sorry, right? But sometimes somebody will wrong us, and instead of having mercy on their lives, we hold them in judgment. So let me just move on. So here you have Jesus. They knew he was a man that was marked with the reputation of having mercy and compassion. So they brought this woman to him because they wanted to see, would he neglect the law of past? So what did Jesus do? He doesn't say a word. How many know that when you're not guilty of doing something, when someone's trying to accuse you or trying to frame you or talk about you, the best thing you can do, stay off Facebook. Don't be sending them hidden tweets or them hidden messages, right? 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 I was going to put something the other day. I was going to put a quote because I was reading about Absalom, right? And I was going to say, be careful for the Absaloms that wait for you at the gate when you feel neglected, right? But I was like, man, no, I don't want to put that because that sounds like a jab at somebody. Now, if you want to understand that, you got to read that, because Absalom, what he would do, he was King David's son, but what he would do, he would sit while David was out fighting a war. Absalom would sit at the gate, and people that wanted their needs met or had an issue in their life, they came to see the king, but the king wasn't there to meet their needs. So here was this man named Absalom. He sat there and he'd go, you know, this, I'm just giving you a little Bible lesson. He sat there, and this is what Absalom would do to those people. "Wow, surely if I were the king, I would listen to you. Surely the king doesn't care. First of all, I'd be weary to follow anybody that's not willing to fight in the fight." Anyways, you get what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is, be careful what you put on Facebook. Be careful how you deal with people, because this is my point. If someone's ever accusing you and you didn't do something, if somebody's ever coming against you and they're talking about you, the best thing you can do is be quiet. Let God fight your battles. Some of us get so caught up in things and he's saying, here's saying, we get all caught up and then we're unhappy. I'm just going to say what flows this morning, amen? So here we go. So here we have Jesus. He stoops down. He doesn't say anything. They say, "What do you say?" He starts writing on the ground, right? He writes on the ground, and then he tells them, "He who is without sin, throw the first stone." What you have to understand about that statement, he was addressing, listen to me, the reason he said that to the religious leaders because he was addressing a religious spirit and he was bringing to light their condemning behavior. After he says this to them, the Bible says they slowly slipped away one by one, from the oldest to the youngest. And as Jesus was left standing there, with this adulterous woman. He says, where are your accusers? Has none of them condemned you? In saying this, Jesus was not, listen to me, Jesus was not condoning her lifestyle by any way. But he was defending, listen to me, the one who didn't have a shepherd. What did he say? He said he had, when he seen the people, he was moved with compassion because they were harassed like a sheep with no shepherd. This morning I came to tell you that if you're going through a hard time in life, your Father knows everything that you feel. He knows when you've been wronged. He knows when people have hurt you. And you don't need to hold grudges. You don't need to give into your pain. You don't need to hold on to offense like a crutch. You can give that to the Lord and he will fight for you. And I say that for those that live in guilt. I have found there are so many people, they live in guilt. They live in their past. They live on, people will make them feel bad, and as a result, they become people pleasers. And if they can't please people, they get all into a frenzy, and then they don't even act like who they are supposed to be because they're too busy trying to keep everyone happy. Let me give you a little secret. Not everyone is going to like you. Not everyone is going to like your style. Not everyone likes my style. I know I'm loud. I know I could be crazy, but listen, it's okay. Just love on me anyways. Right? It's not about indifferences as much as it is about love and compassion. He wasn't condoning this woman's behavior. What he was doing was defending her so he can show her a new way of life. Are you hearing me? In saying this, Jesus was not condoning her sin or agreeing with her behavior. Rather, he was now introducing to the people a new ministry. He was not bashing the law. He was teaching a new ministry that was founded by grace and mercy for the forgiveness of sins. See, the Old Testament law was what the religious leaders taught, and it's what they followed. But the problem with the law, the law had become like condemning and judgmental. The religious leaders, in an attempt to uphold God's law, they created a lot of laws which made it impossible for the people to live by. Now, I want to say this to this church, because if we're not careful in us trying to uphold God's teaching, God forbid we ever become religious. If we're not careful, even within our families, as God starts doing a work in our life, we can start condemning our own family. Hey, listen, don't act like that. Isn't it easy to be impatient with our own family? Right? There are some that we give everything to everybody else, but we are so impatient and rude with our family. Can we address some things this morning? Are you hearing me? Oh, see, you like that point. Amen, Pastor. Amen. The religious leaders, again, in an attempt to uphold God's law, they created a lot of laws which made it hard for people to live by. Anyone that did not uphold their traditions got condemned. And like I said, this happens in churches all the time. See, what I want to create is not a system. I want to create a culture. A system is a certain way of doing things. Listen, I'm okay with adjusting the system. If you know a better way of doing it, hey, present it to me. But I pray that if you present to me a new way of doing, you're willing to do it with me. Oh, we should do it different. We don't like this. But you're nowhere to be found. We're going to disciple this year, amen? People who develop a religious spirit, listen to me, they usually lack grace. And we cannot become people that are religious. And we can't put our unhealthy expectations on other people. That is not what we do. What we do is we preach the word in love. We preach the word with compassion, and we're willing to go to any length short of sin to see a soul saved. You might find me in a weird place someday witnessing to somebody. It didn't make sense when all the ladies in our church got together at 10 o'clock at night and they went down to Hosmer Street and they were witnessing to ladies out in the cold. It didn't make sense. But how many know compassion will take you to places where the hurting are? We believe in the ministry of mercy and grace. Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And I love the New Living Translation. It says this: but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, my friend, the new life that we have, the salvation that you and I get to take hold of and enjoy in its freedom, it's not by anything we've done. It's all because of what he was willing to do and extend to us. Are you hearing me? See, Jesus was attempting to deal with the religious, judgmental spirit of that day. We see this in great light. Later in his conversation, he takes it a step further. Not only was he trying to address their religious spirit by bringing this lady, but as Jesus continues to speak, he was now addressing a different behavior, and he wanted to shed light on another area of their hearts, the heart of judgment. See, the religious leaders of that time were more focused on works, and anyone who did not uphold the law according to their religious standards was judged accordingly. Again, here we see Jesus. He's now dealing with another area in their lives, the one of judgment. Have you ever judged somebody? Right? Have you ever judged somebody prematurely? You don't even have all the information, but because of their track record, you get all mad at them, only to find out they didn't even do what you thought that they did. Are you hearing me? Who's ever been there? Right? Did you know that a judgmental spirit is contagious? Like, that's why I'm careful to not give my view on a lot of things. Right? Because my view, I want to align it to the Bible as much as possible. I understand that I have some influence. That's why I don't post certain things on social media, even if I don't agree with it. There are certain political things I don't agree with, but I'm not going to post those things because I'm not trying to skew somebody else's view. You got to learn to think for yourself. You got to learn to align light with light. Are you hearing me? But if we're not careful, when people hurt us, we can become judgmental. Now, let me tell you what judgment means. It's the process of forming an opinion or evaluating by discerning or comparing. Right? A lot of times we compare people to the way that we see things, and if what we see isn't in alignment with what they see, we can form an opinion. You know that judging others is often done out of spite. As a matter of fact, who's ever been there where maybe you met somebody new and it was all good and dandy at the beginning, but then you begin to really know who they are and you start seeing some flaws within their life, and maybe they remind you of someone that hurt you in the past, so now you really don't like them? Are you hearing me? I'm going somewhere with this. Judging others is often done through comparing. This is why you have to know who you are in Christ. When I came to the Lord, I was complexed. When I came to the Lord, I could only talk to one type of people. But today, I stand with my head held high. I don't feel less. I don't feel greater. But I know that I am a child of God. And as a result, I can speak to anybody about who God is. I don't have to feel less. I don't have to feel weird. I don't have to feel like, man, never. Why would God use me? No, I understand that I am a child of the Most High God. And as a result, I'm a heir. I'm an heir to the throne. Listen, one day, I have the same ability, the same passion, the same power that the disciples have. I can walk in. And I don't have to shrink back. Now, I say that because sometimes we can compare people, and if what they believe doesn't align with what we believe, we can judge them. But here's the problem. Who is to say that our view is correct? Is this making sense? Just because we choose to do things a certain way doesn't mean it's the only way. We got to learn to, that's part of what, like if you look at our church, we're a diverse church. We don't have like we're not like one set, because we're okay with diversity. I'm okay with different ways of doing things. Listen, if at the end of the day, it aligns with what God wants to do, and if you can find a way that could do it better, I have no problem implementing it as long as you're willing to lead the way. Are you hearing me? But the problem with judgment is that there's only one lawgiver. There's only one that can judge. And if you're going to judge, please make sure you judge according to the Bible. Did you know that you could judge? You're like, what are you talking about? Let me explain. I'm going to give you three quick things. I'm going to move forward. And we're going to get to this candle lighting. Number one, if you're going to judge, you better make sure you do these three things because it will protect you. Number one, if you're going to judge, judge according to God's word. Watch this. Judging in alignment to God's word is safe because listen to what it says in John 7:24. Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. The only way that we can judge something is by his word. The King James Version says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, if you're going to judge, you need to make sure that you yourself are living righteously first. Are you hearing me? What does it mean to be righteous, upright, virtuous, keeping the commands of God? If we are going to judge, we better make sure we're living an upright life ourselves and that it's from a virtuous posture to advance God's kingdom, not our agenda. Sometimes we judge because we have an agenda. No, I'm judging based on the word of God. I'm judging based off what I see God wants to do in your life. I'm not coming over here telling you or trying to be. Sometimes it's like that. Well, Pastor, you're just judging me. I'm not judging you. I see the call on your life. I see what God wants to do within your family. I see that God wants to use your life. But I know this, that you cannot go over that mountain with the baggage that you have today. Are you hearing me this morning? Number two, if you're going to judge, I love this one, and I'm reminded of this because by nature, Number two, if you're going to judge, make sure to remove the plank out of your eye before you attempt to move the sawdust out of your neighbor's eye. See, some of you, either you're driven by pain or you got some healing issues, but hear me now. Matthew 7:3-5 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and not pay attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Someone say, be careful with how you judge. And number three, if you're going to judge, be ready to accept the same measure of judgment on your life one day. Luke 7:37-38 says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. When I read those scriptures, I was like, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to judge no more. Moving forward, how does this all tie in? Well, Pastor, how does this all tie into a candlelight? How does this all tie into Jesus? Well, you have to remember that when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, they had just brought a lady that was in sin before him and they wanted to condemn her. So when he said these words, he was actually bringing encouragement and a promise to anybody that was willing to follow him. Follow me. In order to truly understand what he meant when he said, I am the light of the world, the answer to that question can actually be found in John 8:20. This is what the Bible says. He spoke these words. What were these words he was talking about when he said, I am the light? It said he spoke these words teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Let me explain. Jesus was very intentional about everything that he did. Using the analogy of light, you see, where Jesus was standing when he was teaching this, it was next to the treasury. Now, the treasury was a part of the temple where the offerings were counted, and it was the darkest place within the temple, but it was there where candles were lit. Follow me. The candles were lit symbolizing the remembrance of the pillar of fire that led the people through the wilderness when they were lost. Exodus 13:21 says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. By night, he came by a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by night or day. See, the pillar of fire represented God's presence, guidance, and his protection. And in the context of Jesus calling himself the light, what he was stating was, he said, I will be with you. I will be your light in darkness. When he said, I am the light, he was talking about protection and a covering. Isn't it funny that they wanted to stone this lady for what she had did, but what did he do? He stood. We don't know what could have happened. It was an angry mob. It was uncommon for a man to stand up for a woman who had been in sin. But here he took a chance on this person that was in sin. They could have stoned him. He was their covering. He was her protection. And you got to understand this morning, that God is your covering. God is your protection. Listen to me. He's not just the man that I see on the cross. To me, he's not just a figure that I read in the Bible. When I think of Jesus, I think of my Savior. I think of my salvation. I think about my protection. I think about my provider. When we came to Tacoma and we had to leave everything and sell our house, he was the one that was going to go before me. Listen, this morning, you have to understand, he will be your light in darkness. He will be the one to bring you healing. He will be the one to give you guidance when you don't know what to do. See, the pillar of fire represented God's presence, guidance, and his covering. You know that when you're walking upright with the Lord, do you know that there's a covering over your life? The covering is the Holy Spirit, and it's a stamp that God is with you. You got to be careful that you stay under the covering of God for your life. And we do that by remembering that he is the light. Listen, and I say this in this terms too, he's the light that will shine on the darkness in our heart. I got areas in my heart that God has to deal with. I'm just a man. There are some of you, listen, I plead with you. I'm begging you in 2019, listen, let God do away with what happened to you in the past. I want to see you walk in freedom. I want to see you walk in true joy. I want to see you walk with confidence. But you got to let God shine light on the areas of our heart. And there's no list. Like I don't have a list. Don't do this, don't do that, because it's not about religion. What do I often say to you? I say, move as God deals with you. You want your best life next year? Start moving as you feel it, as God deals with you. Listen, and I, it sounds funny, and I know I joke about it all the time, but I heard somebody say, hey, I deleted Facebook. And it was not, to me, it's not a big deal, but to them, they're like, man, when I get on there, I spend hours, I waste all my time, and I start judging everybody. God might tell you, stop listening to this type of music. Now, it might not be bad for somebody else, but listen, if God's urging you to stop listening to a certain type of music, maybe that's your place of comfort, that's where you find peace, and God says, get rid of that music, because it's not giving you peace. What it's doing, it's giving you an empty hole where you keep going back to, and you're never satisfied. And as a matter of fact, God forbid you're lonely during the season, because now you're thinking about a relationship. I just had to throw that in there. And I'm not throwing darts, I'm just saying, right? I'll be closing. After declaring he is the light of the world, and Brother Eric, you can come on up, please. He gives his believers two promises, and this is the promise that I need you to understand. Number one, the first promise he gave us was his follower, those who believe that he is a light and live according to his ways. Number one, his followers will never walk in darkness, which was a reference and the assurance of their salvation. You know, who's ever been there? Like, I don't feel saved. Someone wave at me. Like, I believe in God, but I don't feel like I'm changed. Somebody work with me. I love God, but man, the feelings that I get when I look at him, when I look at her, I don't feel saved. Well, being saved has nothing to do with how you feel. It has everything to do with your faith. I don't feel like it, but because he said it, I'm going to believe it, and that settles it. And that's a promise you can take this morning. If you're walking with the Lord and you love him and you believe him to be the light of your life, you will never walk in darkness, and it's an assurance of your salvation. And I say that because, listen, church, I don't know about you, but there's some dark times in my life where the enemy has brought discouragement. There's been, listen, I don't believe in ghosts and goblins, but listen, demons are real, right? Demons are real. Just look at what's going on in our neighborhoods, man. Watch the internet for the reactions of people that are strung out and really out there doing crazy things. There are spirits behind that. And I say this, the enemy will try to bring fear into your life when you try to take a stand. But I want to declare to you that no matter what God has called you to do, God will be with you. So number one, he promises his followers they'll never walk in darkness. Listen to what he says. This is the message which we have heard from him who declares to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The second promise he said was, by saying he was the light of the world, he was declaring that light, he would be the light to the world. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, the darkness has not, it may try to overtake you, but if you stand your ground in faith, nothing that the devil throws your way will be able to take you from what God has for you. Not only does God display his light, but how many know God wants us to be the light of the world? And in a few moments, you know, we're going to light the candle together and we're going to sing that song, Here I Am, to worship. But before we do that, in a few moments, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, in a few moments, not yet, but I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to have four people up here, and they're going to have candles, and we're going to ask you to light your candle. You're simply going to light your candle and hold it up. Please don't hold it to the side. Hold it up. And we're going to speak to the darkness. We're going to turn the lights off, and we're going to light our light. Because listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 5:14. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they put a lamp under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. How many know that we can accomplish more together than we can alone? Are you with me this morning? And as the ushers prepare and they light their candles, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, church, we have a responsibility to be light in dark places. Are you hearing me? We are to shine so that the light and the works that we do don't bring glory to us, bring glory to him. Are you hearing me this morning? Listen, as we put our light, as we put our trust in the Lord, remember that God is your light this morning. And they're going to come, they're going to come. They're going to stand. I'll call you in a few moments. The whole purpose behind why Jesus came from heaven to earth was to save us from condemnation of our sins. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Today we're going to light this candle. Not only, listen, and people that come from deep darkness doesn't mean people that have a crazy past. You could have never broken a plate in your life. Are you hearing me? Like, I don't have a crazy background. I wish I could tell you some crazy war stories. Yeah, I went to prison. They almost stabbed me. I don't have a story like that. I don't. I came from a broken family. But I experienced the same pain and the same hurt that many do. In a few moments, we're going to light our lamps together, because listen again, it says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Listen, church, when we come together in 2019, this is my prayer, that we would Right now, in a few minutes, we're going to physically light a candle and hold it up, and we're going to sing unto the Lord. But I pray that in 2019, we would spiritually hold up our candles of faith so that those that are in darkness will see a light and come to the glory of God. Those that felt that I could never come out of this darkness, they will learn the understanding of the scripture in Isaiah 9:2 that says, those living in the land of deep darkness has seen a light and has now dawned. This morning, I'm going to ask you, if